views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And now it's blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. Today's date is December the 14th, 2015. It is a Monday afternoon and things were going fine until it was time for us to come on air at 4 o'clock. We have some issues with the servers. For those who are tuned in to the radio station, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, thank you for hanging in there. As I was reloading the station over and over, for some reason, I wasn't able to connect to it to start the broadcast. So that's why we're late, about, 6 minutes late coming on air. Those are some of the things that I'm working on behind the scenes. So I do apologize for those who were for the delay in the broadcast. But let's get started. I want to talk about some of the news of the day. And before I do that, let me give out the telephone numbers. We had some issues with the phones last night for Political Prisoner Radio, but those have been resolved. So the conference line is back working, and the conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Of course, for those, once you dial in, if you have a question, just hit *6 and 1, and we will see that and bring you on air. Also, we'll be checking out the video chat via Blab. I'm still new to this network, so I don't know if we've actually had anyone try to chime in through the video chat. But you can get in on the broadcast through that way as well, through the Black Talk Radio Network's channel on the new platform, Blab. And we're going to see how it goes for a while before we decide on if that's how we want to do our video broadcast. But greetings to those who are tuned in through there as well. Of course, if you are listening from BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, you know you can use the web-based flash phone to call into the show. Just hit call the show, that big black button, and you can use the conference line that way and just look for our phone number and put in the participant code, and that's it. Same thing applies, *6 and 1 if you want to comment. And the final way that you can get in for a question or comment is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. That's the shortest one to remember. But so we try to enable you to contact us with your questions or your comments, because y'all know I have to get those numbers out before I get started, because I've been known to go on two-hour rants. And that's what I do on this program for those that's new. In the addition to sharing news and bringing on guests and interviewing them about whatever subject matter that they are involved in. But I also do daily news reports, things that have caught my eye. And so let me go ahead and tell you what those things are today. You have the Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. And she's a black woman, is proposing a warrantless search of former prisoners in an effort to so-called, quote-unquote, combat crime. Activists have said, and I would agree with them, that this legislation, this proposal, this stuff that she's talking about in the media is very scary, is very troubling. I'm sure some of my friends, our new abolitionist friends, they wouldn't like that, especially, you know, when you have legislation in Congress called the REDEEM Act right now that was introduced by Senator Cory Booker and Senator Paul, let me make sure I get his name right, Rand Paul, because I was about to say Paul Ryan, but of course he's the Speaker of the House. But Rand Paul, who is the son of a longtime Congressman Ron Paul, but he introduced a bill along with Cory Booker, who I mentioned before, called the REDEEM Act. And that's why a lot of felons, people with that felony status, can't find jobs. And for, you know, lack of better terms for it, well, I call them crimes of survival. They're forced into committing crimes. I'm not going to say a life of crime, but I mean, it's set up. We've heard people on the calls for the GEO Group, the private prison company based in Boca Raton, Florida, talk about having repeat customers. And these are the people that Mayor Bowser is talking about. They already face enough, and the system's already set. And she's talking about piling more on top of what you have already. And that's not to say that the issue of violence in communities is an important issue, but now when you start talking about eroding people's rights, their constitutional rights, their human rights, more importantly, and that's what warrantless searches, I mean, they already have been doing it through our emails and social media, using that to surveil political activists. But now she's just talking about targeting, you know, people who just get out of prison, and it's very troubling. We can talk more about that. Certainly I have a lot to say on it, and there is a report coming out of the Real News Network. You can follow them on Facebook. Just do a search, and on, not Facebook, well, they are on Facebook, but their YouTube channel is on YouTube, obviously. So you put in the Real News, and they're based out of Baltimore, Maryland. They do a great job. They have a report on this, and we'll take a listen to it in just a bit. Now, this is something I have spoke about in the past in Black Lives Matter demonstrators. Now, you know, first, for me, you got to define what Black Lives Matter is, or you know, who's using that label or that hashtag, as it was born as a hashtag on Twitter, where a lot of black people congregate on Twitter more so than they do on Facebook or other social media networks. And so during the Ferguson rebellions, one of the people who's being called the founders of Black Lives Matter, she came up with that hashtag, Black Lives Matter, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Now her and some of the other activists who she was working with, and the reason she was there, or who she was with when she went to Ferguson, you know, they decided to start a nonprofit. And this nonprofit apparently has chapters all over, modeled sort of like the NAACP. Same thing with the Black Panther Party, which was stamped out by the U.S. government, but they had chapters all over the country. And that appears to be how Black Lives Matter is shaping up. But then you have people like myself and other activists. We just use it as a hashtag. And we are generally supportive of the people, whether they are part of the movement that the founders of the organization Black Lives Matter took part in. You know, if we use that as a hashtag, it, you know, we don't hold any membership or anything in Black Lives Matter, but we are supportive, okay, of their efforts, and we hope that they are supportive of our efforts. But, you know, the media, the way it portrays it and the way a lot of people think, is just, you know, like this you know, three or four people represent Black Lives Matter, the organization, and that's just simply not the case. Do they have people who show up more in mainstream media, more so than, you know, the grassroots organizers or different chapter leaders in different states or whatnot? So, you know, the media kind of hones in on who they're going to put on television and whatnot. So I said all of that to lay the groundwork for, you know, something I have mentioned in the past and them being called out and them, you know, representing whoever Black Lives Matter is, okay? But the movement, let's talk about the movement and not individuals, but the movement, they're being called out to quote-unquote care more for issues that don't involve police killings in the community. You know, like, and I don't want to use the term, but, you know, we know the racist term where they say, you know, Black people are killing Black people, but hell, white people kill white people, Hispanics kill. So they ain't doing nothing different than anybody else in this country is doing, and they not doing it more. You know, when we look at the nation as a whole, that as a demographic group, Black people are not killing each other at any higher rates than, let's say, white people. You know, kill. If you want to break down, you know, the frequency, well, you have to look at the conditions that have been set up. You can't look at the people, because if you take the white people in the area that I live in, a lot of poor white people, and then you put them into the inner city with the people that's running it there and the police that's running it there, and you see so much corruption, and see, that's why y'all can't identify with it and whatnot. But getting back to this politician, he's a Black male as well. And why do these politicians' race or racial classification matters? Because, you know, since this is a Black radio station, and, you know, we generally are talking to our audience, which is Black people, and, you know, in my individual efforts to educate people on proxy racism. And proxy racism meaning that you have to look at more than just the racist, you know, cops like a Darren Wilson, or the racist suspects out there like, let's say, a Rahm Emanuel. And so you have to look at more than just them, because, you know, you have Black people in similar positions and they are following the program, you know. And what is the program? Well, the program is to target mainly Black people, although they do enslave other people, but target them for enslavement. And so we have these policies that lead to that, these harsh policies. And so you have the Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin. He is a Black man that represents some of the most violent neighborhoods in Chicago, is how it's being described. I think in the Washington Post described it. And he is proposing some similar harsh measures. Measures that include flooding the streets with more cops, and also treating and charging murder suspects like you would a domestic terrorist. And so, you know, again, definitions are important. How does he define domestic terrorists? Because I know in several people I have heard in media, as well as on my own program, and I've talked about it as well, with the way the federal government treats white people, they are not being treated as domestic terrorists. So what is he saying? He want them to treat us like they're treating Muslims or Arabs or anybody that's non-white and non-Black, and treat us like they treat them? Is he talking about putting us on the no-fly list, of the terrorist watch list? And, you know, is he talking about harsher punishment? Because, see, we've tried all of that. The three strikes, you're at all of that legislation that came from, you know, the corporate sector who write the bills and then, you know, pass it along to the legislators, like the Republicans and the Democrats. And they had, you know, had it going on during the Clinton years, Bill Clinton's presidency, working with Republicans to pass all of these draconian drug laws that they said was to, you know, stop all of this violent crime, stop the drug trafficking and all of that. And as we can see, that's been a complete failure, and the excesses of it in destroying first-time offenders' lives. And then there's the whole question of, you know, whether or not drugs should be legalized, which the whole world is moving to that, you know, concerning certain types of drugs out there, or things classified as drugs like weed or cocaine. So, but he's talking about treating these people. But, you know, I would like to ask him the question, you know, do you, Dylann Roof doesn't have terrorist charges on him, you know? And so then this also brings up the hate crime thing, you know, the hate crime. To me, hate crime charges are useless, you know. They're useless. They're supposed to provide for harsher penalties and for people who commit those crimes that of murder, which is really is just one crime. It's murder. You kill someone. You know, whether it's the degrees you want to talk about, first degree, second degree. But I think those are already called harsh enough penalties that we don't have to come up with special other kind of laws. And that's what it seems like he's calling for. But to treat, you know, regular. So is he talking about like if it's so-called organized street gang involvement and whatnot, he wants to treat gang members as domestic terrorists, and he wants to apply the Patriot Act and you know, some of the stuff that was passed in the NDA, the National Defense Authorization Act, where they can just snatch you up off the street without charge and hold you. Is that how he talking about treating these people? Treating us, members of our community? Because with that is going to come occupation. Okay, it's going to come, you know what I'm saying, the iron thumb, so to speak, or the iron boot on your neck. And so, you know, this is just, again, troubling. Politicians in America want to roll back civil liberties and treat suspects as if they're actual criminals and let the punishment begin before there's ever a trial and a conviction. So, you know, I would say, you know, shame on him. And also taking it back to his point, calling out Black Lives Matter, acting like they don't care about the violence and the crime in the community, which is a flat out lie. But you know, nobody is calling on these other organizations that focus on, you know, let's say issue specific, whether that be abortion, whether that be women's rights, you know, feminism, whether that is animal rights. It, nobody calls them out and tells them, well, y'all should also be focused on this and focus on that, you know. And then there's the false comparison is what they doing. They're trying to say, what they're trying to say is that, you know, what they're trying to get you to do is to say is that the crime, let's just say whether it's from domestic violence or something like that, or you know, like that is a whole lot worse than police killing us, when the exact opposite is the truth. When you got police that's committing extrajudicial murders in the street, they're doing crimes and harming people and raping people. Daniel Holzclaw, a child, to, you know, just saw him get convicted. And that's going on a lot more than what people want to acknowledge or people know. They don't know because they don't follow the sort of issues. But rape is rampant. I did a show the other day. Rape is rampant throughout American society in all professions, you know, where that's sexual harassment. And so I don't want to go down that road, but I think that police are the ones who should get the extra punishment or harsher penalties, because they are sworn to uphold the law. They have been invested with all this power. And so, you know, to try to compare them to somebody out there who does, let's say, a mugging or something like that, or, you know, who robs a store, and say they should be treated like domestic terrorists and whatnot, you know, and these may be crimes of survival. That's not to justify them robbing a grocery store, robbing a liquor store, whatnot. But people who live in high poverty areas commit such crimes, and don't think they don't happen in the poverty, high poverty white area that I live in. Man, they be breaking into gun stores. I just seen a report on a social media account of one of the local police departments, and, you know, people breaking it. That kind of stuff go on all the time. They be stealing farm equipment, all kind of burglary and stuff like that be going on. And that's because there's no jobs, I think, is the root cause of it. I don't think that people choose to steal. Well, there are some people, kleptomaniacs, that have been shown to, you know, get a thrill out of seeing that they can get away with something like that. No, I'm talking about organized crime where people do it for a living, you know, because they don't have jobs and things of that nature. And then, yeah, and the conditions are set up for that. So that's going on here where I live in an 80% white rural area. So, you know, it's just, you know, not logical to see these demands being put on Black Lives Matter to address black on black crime. There I said it, you know, when I don't see anybody up here calling on Planned Parenthood to address white on white crime that's going on up here. You know, they have murders and burglaries and all kind of assaults, every crime imaginable that we see in the so-called inner city. But, you know, there is a difference. The murder rates aren't as high where I live as I see reported in places like Chicago. But again, you know, these people here where I live, you know, they are involved in the underground drug trade. Crystal meth is a big thing around here. But you don't see them being stopped and frisked. You don't see them being harassed, or you don't really hear about anybody having drugs planted on them. So it's not like Gestapo-like conditions here, you know. And so, you know, and also I don't see them like, you know, well, they do robbings. They rob drug dealers getting robbed, that kind of home invasions and stuff like that. That has happened, you know, but and there was a murder. I do recall that. So, again, but it's not happening on the level that is happening in Chicago. But what these politicians don't want to address is the underlying cause of that. Is because most of that in your areas, in those inner city areas, that is connected to, I would say, international drug activity, drug gang activity. When you look at the Sinaloa drug cartel, which the DEA cut a deal with and allowed them to smuggle tons of cocaine to Chicago, and I'm sure they didn't bring only cocaine. You know, I'm sure they brought guns along with them, as weed and other drugs as well, and to their distributors up there. And the DEA allowed this, had a deal with them, you know, to allow this. And all, you know, the Sinaloa drug cartel had to do was just give them some information that they had some intelligence on one of their rivals, you know, the competing drug business that they're competing with, whatever their name was. And so they, I guess, you know, they snitching on their rival gangs to the DEA while the DEA looking the other way. Now, talk about, I haven't heard any of these politicians address the fact that that's how all them drugs is getting pumped into Chicago, of which this gang territory violence is coming from. So nobody wants to, you know, and then we had to take it back to the drug war. The drug war is what empowers, you know, the illegal drug activity and why it's so profitable for gangs like the international gangs like the Sinaloa drug cartel. So, you know, he's not even talking about addressing those issues. And nobody is that I know. I know Michelle Lionheart was forced to step down after it came out that those DEA agents in what country was that? Colombia was attending a sex party with prostitutes supplied by some drug gangs down there, you know, and so she stepped aside, but she was not charged with international drug trafficking. To me, if you make a deal with a drug cartel like Sinaloa and you allow them to smuggle drugs, then you are just as responsible for that illegal drug activity or trafficking throughout the United States all the way up to Chicago as what's the guy named that's on the run? I don't know that drug leader that, you know, he paid off a bunch of guards and other people and to build a tunnel into the prison and escape. I forget the guy's name, but last I heard, he's in the mountains of Mexico somewhere. They still ain't caught him. I think they wounded him. I can't think of his name because there's a bunch of those type of guys, you know. And so Michelle Lionheart has not been charged with a crime, but you talking about, you know, going after the low man on the totem pole, the gangbanger, so to speak, the drug dealer on the street. You want to treat them like terrorists and charge them you know, with under terrorism laws. And no, I want to see the violence stop. But the answer is to legalize drugs like you legalize alcohol. You don't see any more, you know, gangs out there shooting at each other over bootleg alcohol houses and running that whole trade and making a whole bunch of money because it's illegal and it can't be sold in stores. You know, look, check the prohibition history there, you know. And so that's why Al Capone and all them other gangs was engaged in all of that violence. And then once they repealed the amendment that prohibited alcohol, all of a sudden that violence went away and all of this tax money is rolling in from the sale of alcohol. Well, that's the same way you got to treat drugs if you want to stop the violence. Or, you know, the government can continue to do what it's doing and facilitate drug trafficking and then practicing slavery against the rest of us. You know, we can settle for that. But I'm not ready to settle for that. You know, for some temporary security and a false sense of safety, surrender my human rights as well as constitutional rights. So the Pan-African Community Association, they had a couple of activists in Washington, D.C., although I think Pan-African Community Association, maybe they got some chapters in Washington, D.C., or has a chapter in Washington, D.C., but they're based out of Minnesota, I think, in the Minneapolis area from what I was reading. But they had an activist who was in D.C. participating in some demonstrations related to the latest killing of a black man by police. I haven't really looked into to give you the details of the case to form an opinion on it. But that's how they came together. And he was interviewed by the Real News Network. And he compared the police to colonialism. He said that black communities are not, in fact, communities, but they're colonies, and they're being occupied, and the people are, you know, being preyed upon. And so, it's, you know, people think about African colonialism, which has not ended. You know, it has not ended. They just kind of using proxy tools of racism. Again, going back to proxy racism, you have to come up, like Mr. Neely Fuller said, you got to come up with terms to explain these things, because the white supremacists ain't going to make them up for you. So how do you explain, you know, all of these black African heads, you know, allowing NATO to come over there and overthrow an African country that was part of the African Union? I'm talking about Libya, and see all their citizens who were in Libya, you know, working and whatnot, but citizens from other African nations got murdered by the dogs of war set loose by the Obama administration, you know, to overthrow Gaddafi's government. And so why are they standing on the side? Well, that's because they're proxy tools of racism. In fact, you know, they are in fact just a black face on an African nation. And that nation really is still colonized. And so, you know, I have heard people apply that same thing to black communities here in the United States, whether you want to talk about a city like Washington, D.C., or if you want to talk about different neighborhoods within the city and how they are, quote unquote, policed differently. I've heard, you know, the term colony be applied. And I would, you know, I'd like to compare it to slavery, because that's what it is. It's slavery. It is what the stuff we read about, for those who read about the history of slavery in this country, of black people being, you know, stopped to ask for their freedom papers, make sure they wasn't an enslaved African away from the plantation without the permission of his vicious master, you know, the white supremacist enslaver. And so, you know, the same thing. It's the same thing. Ain't nothing changed. But in fact, today, you know, I look at these communities as fishing ponds. They're fishing for new slaves, using all of this harsh legislation and stuff. And then you don't see those same policies and stuff being applied to white areas, even though the same stuff is going on. And I can attest to that because I live in one. So it's not like I'm a black person living in a black community like in Charlotte, North Carolina. I live in a black community, but this is one of the oldest black communities, mostly family from first cousin, second, third. So, I mean, it's a lot of us to enough to represent a community, but we surrounded by white people. You know, some of them wealthy, some of them, most of them, dirt poor, and on public assistance and living in housing projects and things of that nature. So, you know, I tend to agree with it, but I just, you know, I really do call it, I compare it more to slavery, because that's what it is. The same conditions. Let's not forget, the police were created in the 1600s. This country, you know, tells you that it abolished slavery when in that mid-1800s, but in fact they did not, because of the exception clause of the 13th Amendment said it's legal to put someone into slavery as punishment for crime. So that is what we see going on. That's why all the aggressive policing is not really to address any kind of crime or to bring the murder rate down or the rape, because, you know, no. They are, the way they function is they respond to crime. They don't actually prevent any crime. So there are other areas that need to be addressed in people activity, the nine areas of people activity, in economics, education, and labor. You know, those issues are being ignored in many of these communities. And then we see them throwing law on, using law and politics to, you know, further oppress the people living in that community, whether or not they're engaged in any crime or not. As we heard about the police out of Alabama planting drugs and guns on young black men since the 1990s, and this is still going on. And one of those people involved in that got promoted, even though his fellow officers internally made internal complaints and whatnot. It didn't result in any of these crooked cops losing their jobs. They got promoted. So, you know, that is the conditions of what we see going on all over America. But it seemed to be really concentrated where you have high concentrations of black people, because, again, you know, the general perception, the reality is black lives don't matter. So I need to take a station identification break. I will check the conference line, see if anybody has any questions or comments. Also, again, I'm getting used to Blab. If you want to Blab in or chime in through the video thing, hopefully I'll see it. I'll keep looking back and forth to see. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer calls. I'm going to get with some people, and we're going to do some test runs of it. But that is open. You can always also submit questions through the chat. So I'm 7 minutes late again, as we were late getting on air due to technical difficulties logging on to our digital radio station. But I'm going to take a station identification break and come back, and I'm going to jump into some of the details of these stories that I have been talking about with you and sharing with you for the past 30 minutes. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Black Talk Radio Network .com. And we will be
cities
right back.
Across
okay,
the
country. Hold up. Didn't mean to start there. All right. We will be right back on the other side of this quick station ID break.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
And welcome back. Once again, this is Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. From behind the enemy lines, I call USA Inc., incorporated in 1871. So let's get back to this main story. I did say I would check the phone lines. Okay, greetings to those on the phone line. Anytime you have a question or comment, just hit star 6 and 1. The studio lines are open, 704-951-5030. But let's get to the details. So you got Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, a black woman, is proposing warrantless searches of former prisoners in an effort to combat crime. Activists say this legislation is scary, according to a report by The Real News. So this is the report out of The Real News. Again, you can follow them on YouTube. They put out a lot of great information.
Country are still reeling from a summer of violence. With homicide rates that increase 70, 80, even 100% in some places, city officials and police unions are proposing harsher legislation in an effort to fight what they call the main culprits, drugs, guns, and gangs. But here in Washington, D.C., where homicide rates are up more than 50% compared to last year, the Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser has introduced one of the most controversial bills in the country. The Public Safety and Criminal Code Act of 2015 would make it legal for law enforcement officials to conduct warrantless searches on some newly released prisoners on parole or probation.
Mario Bowser's bill is very scary.
Goggins, a writer and Black Lives Matter DMV activist, says that Mayor Bowser's bill strengthens control and surveillance, but not safety.
We think that this is kind of the mayor laying out the groundwork to do a predictive policing model in D.C. In 2013, the city got a contract with a group out of Colorado Springs to do predictive policing and to bring a predictive policing platform to D.C. This is as scary as it sounds. Predictive policing is actually their name, but the idea that you try and reach out to offenders before they've actually offended, right? It's a very Big Brother 1984 kind of way to do policing that's very terrifying, but also is a model trying to be followed by a lot of states.
When Mayor Bowser introduced the law back in August, she defended her bill amid the shouts and yelling of protesters.
There have been erroneous reports in the media that we want to give the police unfettered authority to basically search anyone, anytime, anywhere. That is blatantly false.
I think that people should be watching what's going on here, that this change in rhetoric, and especially in a place that deems itself as progressive as the District of Columbia.
Monica Hopkins Maxwell is the director of the American Civil Liberties Union in the nation's capital. She's been fighting the crime bill as well as parallel legislation on the issue of body cameras, which were introduced last year in Washington, and which she fears may become a tool for surveillance rather than accountability.
General Provision 3900.4 borders on using body-worn cameras for surveillance by allowing recording of First Amendment assemblies. The ACLU finds this highly problematic.
The racial disparities that you see are infinite in the District of Columbia, where you have 91% of the people that we incarcerate are Black. So the damage to Black communities from this so-called public safety bill is really, really scary.
Goggins says that unfortunately the mayor's efforts are in fact precise and intentional.
The police have a union that is very political and outspoken and trying to get its own PAC and trying to have political muscle to push this. There are private prisons and private corporations that profit off of the school-to-prison pipeline and mass incarceration that are lobbying for this bill. There's also a lot of provisions in the bill that would that came from cooperation with the Chamber of Commerce to get security cameras at local businesses, right? And so there's a lot of business improvement district money tied into all of this. And then there's a lot of folks who really just make money off of traumatizing the Black community, right? As Black people get more desperate in a lot of aspects in our lives, it makes communities more likely to take low-paying jobs because they don't have better options. It feeds into this entire system that oppresses Black people, which unfortunately is a big business in America.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. I have embedded that in today's program description on blacktalkradionetwork.com, the entire video, but again, it's on the Real News Network. There's about 3 more minutes of that, but I'll stop it there. We got enough information, and there was a person identified as someone with Black Lives Matter. The Real News Network, since I know the guys that actually are behind the scenes and some of them on camera, Dr. Jared Ball and others, and, you know, I talk to them on Facebook and whatnot and talk about news and we share each other's news. So if they say that's a Black Lives Matter person, then, you know, I could trust them that, you know, that's an actual Black Lives Matter organizer and not just somebody who's Black and they're saying, oh, they're associated with Black Lives Matter and whatnot. But he is dead on point. I don't know if he listens to New Abolitionist Radio on Black Talk Radio Network, but that young brother has a full understanding what's going on. And the profit motive and still making profit off of black lives. That's the only way that black lives matter to the system, is when you can incarcerate that black life and coins can then start flying out of its behind, as Max has called it. You know, when he was talking about in New York City how much it costs to incarcerate a minor, a teenager. How it costs, I think he said somewhere upwards of $350,000 a year. So obviously you have people who are writing laws, who are behind legislation. Again, as I talked about before we even mentioned or played this clip here, the police, they mentioned specifically police unions, private prison corporations. They talked about the city having a contract. You know, that has written up this policing model. And I mean, that's just heinous. It has no regard for the Fourth Amendment. Again, it just, again, totally re-victimizes, or I should say recriminalizes, of people who've already paid their debt to society. If you have went to jail, if you have went to prison, you finish your prison sentences, you get out, right? All your rights should be restored to you. But see, that is how one of the ways they creating a permanent second class or underclass in America. Peons, or, you know, you've had different systems throughout hundreds or thousands of years, and they had different names for it. But a permanent second class, I wouldn't even call them citizens. Let's just call them slaves, because you don't have, slaves have no rights, right? So that's what they're doing to people who go to prison and get that felony status, and they treat them like this to the day that they die. And the whole intent is for them not to be able to get jobs, because again, they ain't talking about spending no money. This mayor, they're not talking about reentry services. They're not talking about jobs. They're not talking about jobs programs and whatnot. That's why you had Senator Paul and Senator Booker introduce the Redeem Act, so that people who have felony status, then they can't be legally discriminated against, legally treated as a slave under the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, because they have been punished for crime. But see, that's lifetime, really, if we want to call it, of slave status, whether you're behind the bars or not. And, you know, the whole mousetrap, the way it's set up, is to keep people in these prisons, and you know, because they want to employ another segment of society. What segment is that? Well, not the wealthy and those who I would really call white supremacists, because for you to be a white supremacist, you got to be living supreme. You got to be, you know, have fat bank account. You live in, you know, you're those type of people that's meeting at the Bilderberger conferences. Okay, then you have racist whites, you know, people from this community that I live in. And I'm not saying all the white people here is racist, because I know that not to be the case. But I do know that I would probably say 30% of them are racist, and maybe 50% of them, did just have some rallies for that white supremacist flag in South Carolina and whatnot. But I don't call them white supremacists, because they not living better than my family in the black community I'm a part of. You know, they not. They really not. You know, a lot of them, again, on public assistance because of the lack of jobs around here. So I wouldn't say that they were supreme just because they white and they have racist attitudes. I would just call them racist whites. So that's the class that they look to provide. The system looks to provide jobs for. Doing what? In these prisons and jails. There's a prison in this county. We do have a jail. And a lot of these people work there. On the road, the little rural road that I live on, several times. But the only time I see police on a regular basis is when they coming from work. There's a guy that works about maybe, I would say, 2-3 miles up the road. He works for Charlotte Mecklenburg Police. Then there's another one work down there for the Mount Holly Police. And I'm sure there's some more. So these are the jobs that they providing for that class. You know, they not wealthy, they not rich. They call them the middle class, but that's how the middle class is surviving off of the criminalization of black life. That's how they live. And so they are represented through these fire departments, you know, the fire and police unions and whatnot. And, you know, they team up with the corporations who have the private prisons and the private jails. And they come up with this harsh legislation that is, you know, not going to be applied in every community. See, they're not going to do no warrantless searches in a community like the one I live in. With a whole bunch of white felons, they not going to do that. It's not going to happen. But they will go to areas of like Chicago, like Washington, D.C., and totally strip these people of their, further strip them of their rights. And nobody, the general population, the masses of people, which are white in the United States, they not going to give a damn about these people's rights being stripped away. So that's why I say people can miss me with that garbage on the 4th of July and the whole patriotic thing and, you know, cops are and soldiers are defending our freedoms and liberties. No, they not. Because, you know, they are writing legislation, getting behind legislation, supporting legislation that is attacking people's actual freedom and liberty and creating a slave class of so that they can, you know, have a job. So this, what this woman, Mayor Bowser, is proposing is really just going to lead to more stopping and frisking. Cause I mean, how do they know who's the well, you know, of course they're going to be in the system. So they're going to have to create a larger database and whatnot. And well, they already had that information, but still though. Where you can just run up. So that means then you can run up in any house. If I got a felon living in my house, which I'm probably, you know, got several cousins that got felonies. So if they were staying here until they could get on their feet or whatnot, does that mean the police get to run up in here without a warrant? Because he's not the homeowner. He ain't even renting. You know what I'm saying? He's just catching a couch until he can get on his feet. Since society makes it so tough for him to reintegrate and find a job and you know, you further discriminate against him in housing. And so since he got family who will give him a place to stay until he can do better, you know. So does that mean then they could run up in? So, again, man, people don't be asking the right questions when they start talking about, you know, a certain targeting a certain class of people. Because that's what the whole Patriot Act, you know, was about, you know, at right after 9/11, and the legislation was written prior to the terrorist attacks on 9/11. So they already had planned this, and that was passed, and it covered a whole lot more and was used to target not just Arabs, not just people from Saudi Arabia, you know, 9 of the 11 so-called terrorists who flew the planes and whatnot. No, it's being applied to Americans. It's being applied to, you know, mostly non-white people. Again, this is going to what I was saying earlier about the Chicago Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin. Well, who's a domestic terrorist? You know, who is a domestic terrorist? So we're coming up. Let me see at the top of the hour. Okay. Let me do a quick check. Tando Radio Show, I do not think will be on air. Seems that I remember the host of that program last week saying that he may not be on air today because he's still in the midst of moving and getting settled in his new home. So let me just do a quick check and see if anybody... Let me see. No word yet. So I don't think Tando Radio Show will be on air. So don't need to announce that. But the Black Lives Matter person was right on point. And then getting to the criticism. Why? So obviously they are focused on more than just when a police officer kills somebody in the community. That's enough right there to keep you busy addressing that issue. But they are also involved in I would say, you know, what some people would call, you know, freedom activities and keeping us free, protecting the people, civil liberties, so to speak, civil liberties. And then people, you know, on all political spectrums should be down with that, right? About the Constitution. Like I hear a lot of conservatives, it's about the Constitution and First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. They really focus on Second Amendment, though, really, is how the mainstream media portrays it. But we do see a lot of demonstrations, and they let us know that right is very important to them. It's important to me, too. But, you know, we know that they care about the Second Amendment. And to a lesser degree, I've heard right-wingers talk about the Fourth Amendment and talk about the Patriot Act and have concerns about that. But again, I don't know why, because they really ain't applying it to you. They're not going after domestic terrorists like the KKK, neo-Nazi groups, and they have full protections. You know, I heard President Obama talking about passing a law just so we can see who's donating through PayPal or whoever. I think PayPal dumped one of them groups. But, you know, who is donating money to, like, you know, these conservative citizen action PACs. And then they're talking about the police creating a political action committee. Right. Wow. But President Obama talked about passing legislation to make these donors public. But then you got, you know, President Obama with a kill list in his pocket that he discussed with the cabinet. His cabinet on Tuesdays, and it had other department heads of national security, you know, NSA and people from the military. And they go over this list of that has people's names on it and who they going to approve to be taken out by a drone, you know, to be extrajudicially murdered without a trial. All right. So, you know, but he's willing to do that to non-white people, but he ain't willing to do that to white supremacists. So again, you know, all terrorism is not being treated equally. And again, I wouldn't approve of the assassinations of white suspected white supremacists, terrorists. And I don't approve of that thing. Why would I? That's anti-freedom, man. That goes against the logic of a so-called, what would we call, just society, where everybody has their day in court and the government doesn't get to just assassinate you and violate your rights on a suspicion that they actually had to come up with proof and take it to a judge before they can do you like that. So it always starts with, you know, the people that are looked upon with disfavor on the lower rungs of a society. They try this stuff out and they tell you it's about targeting them because you already got anti-blackness, then they're felons too, you know what I'm saying? And even black people don't, you know, so yeah, they'll try it out on us, but then, you know, it applies to everybody else. All it is, stopping and frisking, it ain't just the felons that we see going on. So people, y'all need to wake up on a number of areas, the police terrorism that we face, how they are organizing, talking about political action committees where they're trying to persuade the public to get behind draconian laws and so they can have even more power. They already got the power, as we see, to gun down thousands of American citizens in the street, and only, you know, less than 5 of these cop killers are actually even charged or brought to justice, and the rest is just swept under the rug. Again, not saying that some of these police shootings aren't, you know, done under the right circumstances where they didn't have any other choice. It was life or death for real. Instead of saying that this is so common that it's led to thousands of people, over 1,000 people being killed in 2015 alone. And then 400 or more of those being unarmed people, you know. So we need to wake up. They already have too much power. If you ask me, police unions need to be disbanded. The way I hear the right wing talking about disbanding teachers unions or trade unions and workers unions and stuff. But I don't never hear them talk about these police unions. These the ones that you should be more focused about, and not unions that's trying to get a higher wage for somebody. Okay. For like fast food workers, you know, who are been demonstrating already, or retail cashier workers and stockers and people who work hard and aren't paying a living wage, and there are no opportunities for advancement, because you know what? If you want to complain about getting paid minimum wage to take these returns that we got in from after Christmas and then repackage them so we can resell them, then we'll just go to the prisons and we'll get some prison slaves to do it, and we only have to pay them 10 cents an hour. That's what we're really talking about. You know, this is what's going on in this so-called land of the free that abolished slavery in 1865, which they did no such thing. But, you know, these police unions, man, they are just they're like the Gestapo, man. They're like an armed political wing of some fascist group, you know. And so that's just, they need to be disbanded. Police unions need to be banned. They need to be abolished. Especially if they're engaged in this kind of stuff. This goes beyond making sure a cop gets a quote-unquote fair shake, or, you know, is his rights aren't violated. This goes beyond this. This goes to actually creating policies that's going to have a negative impact on these communities. See, it ain't talking about more after school programs where police can work with kids and to, you know, like the police athletic league, no more funding for that or expanding that. No talk of that. They ain't talking about for the felons, you know, job reentry training or help for them. They ain't talking about supporting the Redeem Act to stop the legal discrimination against people labeled felons, which caused them to become repeat customers of the GEO Group or the Correction Corporation of America or your locally owned private prison or jail. They ain't talking about nothing that's good for the community. At least not the black community. As far as I can tell, so. That's just ridiculous for police to be able to do that, to engage in a political agenda like that. And that's why I call them terrorists, man. They are terrorists using fear, intimidation, and violence to enforce a political agenda. Political agenda in a lot of cases that they're behind writing. So this government is utterly corrupt. That's why I say USA Inc. needs to be dissolved as a corporation, and we need to return this place to a republic, a constitutional republic. And we need to clean that constitution up, especially getting rid of the exception clause to the 13th Amendment, which allows them to continue to practice slavery well up into the 21st century. Regardless of what you heard, regardless of what you've been taught, regardless of what you didn't read, because there's no way you can read the 13th Amendment and come to me and then argue that slavery was abolished indeed after the Civil War, when in fact it was not. So I need to take another station identification break. Next story that I want to take a look at, again, you know, this Boykin guy violating people's rights. You can read more about that story at the Washington Post. But last but not least, I do want to play this clip of this Pan-African Community Association organizer, and he's talking about how the black community isn't treated like a community. It is, in fact, a colony that's being colonized. Resources being stolen. What's those resources? Labor. They're stealing labor, black male labor. Our lives only matter when we're behind bars and you can, you know, derive fees from us, even while you're bringing in the drugs that you're busting some of us for selling. So, listening to Black Talk Radio News again, my name is Scotty Reed. We will be back on the other side of this quick break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And again, the last story I just talked about before that quick station ID break, do want to remind you that Black Talk Radio Network is managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Getting ready to redo our website and offer some more services. That's one of the ways we fund our media operations, in addition to the donations from our listeners who are very generous and want to see our operations continue. But we do offer services, you know, podcast hosting, and now we have a new service is website hosting and whatnot. So I need to redo blacktalkmediaproject.org, and so that's something I need to get to work on. But again, as we hit the end of the year, we did not meet our fundraising goal, which was $60,000 a year, which would help us to I guess we would call it remodel a mobile home trailer that we were going to turn into a media operations center for the local community that we are broadcasting out of, even though many of our hosts call in from around the nation. But that's one of the visions and goals of Black Talk Media Project, is to put these type of media help centers and, you know, allowing youth that may be interested in radio broadcasting, television broadcasting, and providing a place for them to come and get some hands-on experience and get some college credits and whatnot through our nonprofit. So we didn't meet our fundraising goal, but obviously we were able to keep meeting our operational costs for the year. And I just, again, want to say thank you. And if you have not contributed, you can still contribute. There's always the PayPal donations or physical mailing address on both of the websites, blacktalkradionetwork.com as well as blacktalkmediaproject.org, for those that send in money orders or checks. So, again, thank you. As we get ready to close out this year, just two more weeks left in 2015. Wow, now we're going into 2016, and we need change. We need, you know, change is just, doesn't, that word doesn't do enough to explain what we need. You know, we need a whole redoing of it. We need a revolution is what we need. Area code 267, thanks for calling in. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, good afternoon, Scotty.
Greetings after to you, Brother Ralph, a contributor to the Black Talk Media Project and a listener, and he will call in and chime in with his thoughts from time to time. So what's on your mind today, Brother Ralph?
Well, you're going to look for another donation tomorrow from me. You know, I often hear a lot of us out here in the so-called conscious community talking about the awful, you know, these stations that's supposed to be black-owned media, but they're pumping everything to keep us stupid instead of, you know, instead of telling us what we really need to hear and how to prepare for this oppression that our communities are under right now. So I appreciate what you're trying to do, and, you know, action speaks louder than words, and that's why I'm going to send you another donation tomorrow, man. I just called in to let you know that.
Much appreciated, much appreciated. And I was just talking about, you know, the services that we provide, and I need to redo, you know, the blacktalkmediaproject.org website so I could better, you know, let the public know what services we do offer. If you don't have the money to donate or something like that, well, maybe we could do something for you. And one of the things that we're doing is hosting WordPress sites and do the customization and set it up for podcasting and internet radio broadcasting and anything else you involved in. But one of our first client for that new service is Time for Awakening Media. So I'm sure you checked out timeforawakening.com, which Black Talk Media Project, you know, I'm proud to say, did that, set up that service, provided that service for the brothers and sisters. So, I mean, your honest critique, what do you think about it thus far? I love the website.
Yeah, I love the website, but Scotty, what I'm really looking at now, you know, and this is just me speaking, I'm looking at what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is, you know, we're being exterminated. I mean, they're actually putting these cops on, well, these neo-Nazis on TV, gunning us down all over this country. We had this black lady, Loretta, I call her Loretta Willie Lynch, because she's there to fool us and make us think that she's going to bring justice. But things have actually gotten worse under her, and it's not a peep out of her or that so-called boss of hers. And man, we're you know, it seemed like black people were just like, oh, I'm home, you know, Christmas is coming up, Pastor so-and-so needs a new car. The same old nonsense, man. I mean, and sometimes I sit back and I analyze these things. Mm-hmm. I said, don't they see what's going on? I mean, these folks are putting it on the television set to let you know that what their agenda is. Mm-hmm. With a black man, I'm not going to call him that. You know what I mean? With that thing in the White House and Loretta Willie Lynch and the rest of those clowns called the Black Caucus. You know, man, this is a unjust, wicked, evil system that we really need to address. We just can't go around talking about passing me a new suit and, you know, I paid my tithes and offerings. Jay-Z got a new record out. This movie was good. We got to open our eyes, man. And then more and more I sit back and I look at these folks. I don't know what to say. You know, I really don't know what kind of hypnotic trance they're under. They're talking about, you know, doing some kind of marketing. I mean, all that's good. You know, we have to buy black. We have to do a lot of things like that. But man, we're being exterminated. So right. They don't care if you have your own businesses or what.
Right.
I mean, these people are coming. These people are shooting us, beating an old mentally challenged woman out in the middle of the street.
Well,
and they get off. With a black prosecutor and black lawyer.
You shouldn't be supporting a black business if it supports the local police union. That's out here, you know, going on TV and advocating for, you know, these killers. On TV and lying to us and telling us things happened that really didn't happen that we only find out when the video come out. That, oh, all of y'all over there are conspiring to tell lies and to cover up this murder. You know, so if the black business is supporting the local police union or let's just call it the status quo, the establishment, whether it's some mealy mouth, you know, politician who is talking about addressing crime by further restricting people's rights and to make them easy targets and whatnot. So, yeah, you know, we don't need to be supporting those black businesses like that. So it's got, you know, but black business and supporting black business is important. Malcolm talked about it. Martin Luther King talked about it. That's so we can provide jobs for ourselves, for our communities. If that ain't the plan and you're just going into business to get rich and then even, you know, you go into business to make profits, but if you ain't putting some of them profits back into the community, and that's whether it is funding social organizations that's addressing, you know, some of these issues and whatnot, then, you know, to me, then you're just a capitalist, man. You're just a black capitalist,
right.
And I ain't down with that. But in terms of, you know, if I can do business with a black person and I, you know, and they do a good job and whatnot, I want to keep recycling black dollars. Cause again, man, we shouldn't be relying on McDonald's, Wendy's, or any white-owned corporation, dominated corporation, to be the number one job providers in our community. Wouldn't you say those are the number one job providers in the black community? Is McDonald's, you know, fast food work, little retail work, no good paying manufacturing jobs or anything like that. So it's obviously, Brother Ralph, the man ain't worried about our people working. He would rather we not work and then sell drugs that he's bringing in so then he could put us into slavery. And then they got you for life, you know, whether you in or off the prison plantation. So I'm looking at the economic piece as a way for us to address unemployment in our community and employ our people.
Right. You're going about it the right way, Scott. You're looking to reinvest in the community, but then you have those Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to give you a for instance. This Radio 1, you know, and TV 1. We think those are black owned. They are not. I'll send you the executive board. They only list Kathy Hughes as a founder. Mm-hmm. You should see some of the names. Valerie Jarrett is one of the chair members. And David yeah. Bernstein. So you should see some of the members that make the decisions about Radio 1 and TV 1. That's not a real black owned. That's just got a black face on it.
Right. Glad you brought that up. We had a person jump in on a Blab because we do video cast this as well on blab.im. It's a nice platform, new platform, trying it out and whatnot. But we were on there. Me and this brother was on there networking. We were talking about, you know, website designing and building and WordPress and things of that nature. And this white guy jumps in and he says, you know, would white talk radio be racist? And then he jumps off. And then, so I didn't have a chance to ask him, well, is black entertainment television? Is black entertainment television racist? Because that's the insinuation that black talk radio is racist simply for being black, you know, or calling ourselves black or acknowledging our blackness. Like, there's something wrong with that. Well, then, you know, go pick it outside of Viacom's offices about black entertainment television. Viacom owned by white people. So, you know, yeah, people just so anti-black.
Right. They try to brainwash our children to think something's wrong with them for being proud of being black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and their job is racist. These so-called civil rights people because they want to, like, reach out to everybody else. They don't, you know. Nobody else has a problem with promoting their heritage, having a pride in their heritage, the history of their people. You know, nobody except us, because we had black talk radio. Oh, that's racist. But what is Fox News? What is CNN? We look at that junk all day long. And, you know, you talked about the differences between the businesses. I always separate the two. I said, you have a black owned business that reinvest in the community and do what they have to do. Then you have a Negro business that's just out there to grab money. They don't care. They'll discriminate against black people also. So, you know, mm-hmm. you got two different businesses that you got to even filter your way through just to do what you have to do and just to contribute back to your community, man. But I just had to call in. I'm going to let you know. I'm sending another donation tomorrow. I appreciate your hard work and you coming on here trying to do what you're doing. All you got to do is turn on terrestrial black talk radio and you'll see that's been hijacked by somebody because it's nothing but pure garbage. I mean, pure garbage. They have turned the black agenda into the Democratic agenda
mm-hmm.
right underneath our noses. And like I said, Valerie Jarrett's on that. She's one of the chair people Radio One and TV One. So
she's still working at the White House.
Black Power. Excuse me, sir.
She's still working at the White House.
She's supposed to be his advisor, but she's getting advice on what to do. But no, she's still there. Valerie Jarrett's there. Mm-hmm. All the rest of those, Susan Wright. They're all of them. You know what I mean? And yes. Our people are fooled by these people. And they're spokespeople. They got radio shows, TV shows. You call them proxy racists. I call them undercover manipulators. And I'm talking about these people that come on, Roland Martin, Joe Madison, Al Sharpton, and the rest of them, because what they have done, they have turned a black power agenda into the Democratic agenda. You got to vote. You got to vote. We got to keep Donald Trump out. And see, with this guy, Donald Trump, all he's doing, he's staring his base because that base is going to always be here as long as that's America. But the same token, they ain't addressing nothing else. They're not addressing our concerns. They're not addressing these public schools being shut down all across the country. They're not addressing these police killings. They're not addressing none of that because the news is Donald Trump. That's nothing but a distraction, brother. So gotcha. We got to look beyond that garbage that they're kicking and see exactly what's going on. I mean, like I said, I just sit back and I analyze and I hear black people, oh, You know, some of them even want Donald Trump in there when he referred to us as the blacks. But, well, we want to vote for Trump. And then the other people, we got to get Hillary in there because the Supreme Court got four justices above. Who cares? They're going to uphold this imperialism. Mm-hmm. So who cares which ones they put in there? They have their agenda before they even get in there. We got to get our heads out of our behinds, man, and start looking at this thing like it's real, or it's going to be 2016 is just going to be a repeat of 2015, 2014, 2013.
Right.
We got to get our heads out of our behinds and start looking at these people for what they really are. They're killing us, man, and they're putting it on TV. For you to see, Rahm Emanuel's not going nowhere. He's going to still be the mayor. And those same sellout Uncle Tom ministers are going to be right there to put the next white supremacist in office, or Zionist, whatever way one you want to call them. But they're going to put the next one right in office. So, you know, it's going to be a repeat until our people get their heads out of their behind, man. So I just had to call you and say, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I'm going to hold on to the faith that our people will wake up in mass number. I think the pain's got to get a little greater before they wake up mm-hmm. and see what's really going on behind the scenes, shutting down your schools, putting them in prison, you know, putting this drug out. I talked to a young boy today. They got a drug out on the street called Rock Bottom. I mean, come on, man. They got some stuff for our children. Rock Bottom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, man, we got to do something, man. We got a lot of work to do.
Yes,
and,
we do, Brother Ray.
You know, so I just had to call and give you my two cents, man, and just tell you I appreciate what you're trying to do, man.
Well, thank you again for the support, Brother Ralph. And chime in anytime, man, anytime when you are able.
Yes, sir.
All right,
take
peace.
Care. And, all right, man.
Okay, that was Brother Ralph. Let's go back to the phone lines, check the conference line. Studio line again is 704-951-5030. 704-951-5030. I do want to play this clip of this activist, Pan-Africanist activist, talk about black communities in the USA actually being colonies and being occupied. But before I do that, I want to go to the caller on the conference line. And that caller, your area code is 973. Thank you for calling in the Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Good evening, Mr. Reed. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay as well as can be expected under the current conditions.
Well, it's so funny. I was watching the Children's March. I was going to email you about where did you get your picture of the girl who was listening to the radio. I thought maybe it might have been your daughter or something. But it looked like they were old-fashioned pictures. But, you know, some parents, you know, they still have, you know, my daughter was growing up. I had her in ponytails and stuff like that. So I was looking at the Children's March, and I saw the picture. I saw where you got it from. I was going to email you. And I was just thinking about what Brother Ralph was talking about, how that the Children's March, that should be shown to all children because it teaches them the power of protest. I mean, you know, I watched the movie. Maybe this is my fourth time, and every time I watched a movie, I just cry because I see that how they kept that from us as a part of our history. They didn't really want us to know that iconic scene that they show where they start to put the fire hose on the people and the mm-hmm. children. You know, you would think that was just there, but there was a lot of, you know, black talk radio influence on that because, you know, the DJ was, you know, they had their code words and black talk, you know, in terms of just, you know, black media was very, very important and very, very crucial for the civil rights era. So I'm just happy that I was looking at it yesterday and I was gonna, like I said, Mr. Reed, I was gonna email you, say, who is this picture of this girl? Is this your daughter? And then I saw that it came from the Children's March. And then on the flip side, I'm a little upset because the People's Organization for Progress, we went to King University demonstrating, and only, Mr. Reed, three students came out to demonstrate with us.
King University, refresh my memory.
And like he said, I'm thinking of the Children's March, how these are college students. I'm sure they don't really have nothing to lose from coming out demonstrating, but there was some type of innuendos going around. I hope there wasn't that stupid to believe, like, if you demonstrate, you may lose your financial aid. And I hope that I don't think any student would believe something like that, you know, because the demonstration and your financial aid has nothing to do with, I mean, you know, you come out to demonstrate has nothing to do with you losing your financial aid. So in any case, like I said, Mr. Reed, there was only three students, and it was so heartbreaking to me that, you know, it was more of a older crowd out there demonstrating. There was, you know, you had your politicians and you had your clergymen out there. But my question was, like, where are the students? How could you? I mean,
973. If you can educate the listeners, if you can educate the listeners a little more as to what you're talking about, why was there a demonstration going on at King? I know because I subscribe to Pop's emails and see their press releases and stuff, but a lot of the listeners may not. So what was this part of the wider nationwide demonstration?
I don't really like talking, but I get too emotional. But you can go ahead and do it. You can just go ahead and inform the listeners. I just wanted you to go ahead and do that. I get a little bit emotional talking about it. So can you do that for me, sir? And I'll listen to you.
Well, see, offline. I may not be as I may miss some of the important details, but this is what I gathered, because I see a lot of information coming out, but I have been reading some of the Pop emails. But it seemed to me this is part of the wider national college demonstrations that we've been seeing, you know, confronting things like, you know, white supremacists being memorialized on a building or with a statue, you know, former enslavers and whatnot. And then conditions, you know, how black people are being treated or black students being treated. So that's what I saw as part of the wider demonstrations that's taking place. But I may not be aware if there was a specific incident, or I'm not recalling if there was a specific incident that caused these demonstrations at King. So if you could enlighten me.
That was the general consensus of that the students were feeling that there was racism on campus. But if that was indeed the case, you know, and it is the case, where was the students? Only three students come out to protest? I mean, this gained news on the radio, I mean, on television, and only three students? Because, you know, if you're looking at propaganda and you talk about propaganda, someone want to get on the radio and say, I guess those founded, what they were talking about must not be true, because only three students came out to protest about this, you know, this situation. You know, it just made it look like, I don't know. I guess I was hurt because I was thinking there would be, you know, massive students out there demonstrating.
Because you're
really
seeing
wasn't.
It on other campuses. We are seeing those images on other campuses.
We are.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand your disappointment.
Yeah, very, very, very disappointment. I just wanted to know. I was just thinking to myself, you know, I always have hope. Mr. Reed, I always have hope. I know, you know, we can't ever give up a hope, because we give up on everything if we do that. Like I said, it brought me back to the Children's March about how we need to educate children at an early age, Mr. Reed, about the power of protest. Because when you see that little boy, he was in the paddy wagon, and he was just, I mean, he had this fear. He had no fear in his heart. He looked like he could take on the world. And that beautiful smile from his face, you just saw. I mean, he was like, he had to be no more than like 4 years old or 5 years old. But he seemed like he was the Superman at that particular moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, children need to see this. And if we start to instill this, and this is something I'm really going to try to pump up at Pop and get, you know, we have the Black History Month coming up very soon, and get this in a lot of the schools, that if they start to see the power of protest, and it really started with them, then they may have a different outlook, because, you know, it's taken from so many different angles. People talk about protesting, not protesting, but if they can see it in that infantile stage, maybe they may get a different and understand
protest,
that how protest is very important.
The way I view protest is it's a multifaceted tool. Okay, it can bring attention, media attention to if you want to educate the wider public, and that's what it's about, you know, it's educating the wider public about issues that's going on. It's also, you know, in terms of framing, you know, your arguments and whatnot. But also it's a exercise in unity and showing solidarity in the community.
Exactly.
Even if it's not happening to you specifically, you are concerned about it happening to a member of your community. Even if I'm not, if I haven't had a racist experience on campus, well, I do have heard of, you know, other people on campus who have had these sort of experiences, and I don't want that to happen to people on the campus I'm a part of, so I'm gonna come out and show my solidarity. So, you know, it's really all about solidarity. It's really how I look at it. It's most valuable benefit that you would derive from that, and then from there you can organize to take certain actions, you know, from the people that turn out and whatnot. So it is, protest is a multifaceted tool, and that's how I look at it, Carla.
Exactly. And I think, like, with our younger children, because they always see older people protesting, they really rarely see real young children. So to instill that at that age, that fertile mind, because they said statistically shows that in third grade, they start to really go off the deep end. Like, if they don't get caught and get their attention, keep they're attentive, after third grade, they lose it. They just seem like they just whatever. So I'm just saying that for the children coming up in years to come, if they start to see the children's march, so when they do see someone at a protest, they can say, wow, I remember that film. Let me go and, you know, it'd be incisional, you know, in their brains. There's something that you just don't forget. It's like when you first learned that Santa Claus wasn't Santa Claus. You know, it's like, okay, nobody can put Santa Claus in me and I'm going to believe it anymore. It's just incisional. It's something you just really never forget. So that's why I'm happy that you did use that picture from there, and I did get my answer. So that's one of the reasons why I called in, and also that. So I'm very hopeful. That's one of the things that we're going to do with the People's Organization for Progress, is to really get that film, because I think it starts, you know, at the fertile mind. You know, you start to learn things, you know, when you're young, how to say thank you, no thank you. You start to develop moral character from your parents. So I think this would be something that our children really, it should be a given. You know, in geometry we have the givens. It should be a given that all children, you know, especially African-American children, should see this film. It should really be something that it should be part of the core curriculum in their studies.
I would agree.
Thank you so much, Mr. Reed. I'll listen to you offline.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Call back anytime.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me clear the caller's queue so that in case the same caller has
Q&A queue is clear.
Has another question, they could get it in before we get ready to wrap up the program. But I do want to take another short station identification break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. This is Black Talk Radio News, and my name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Broadcasting every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 6:00 p.m. 4:00 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm also going to start doing more interviews, but they will be by video only, and recording those. I don't know if people saw the one that we did with Adam Marlins talking about the new rules at the Security and Exchange Commission that takes crowdfunding from being just a donor activity to an investor activity, and the potential of that in liberating black communities by creating what we've been talking about on this program, businesses that's going to employ our people. So that was the first video I did. I'm looking to do more of that and interview, you know, do a little short 10-minute, 15-minute, 20-minute interviews where we're just really hitting you with some information outside of the radio program, Black Talk Radio News. So stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side. I want to, again, play those comments from the Pan-Africanist organizer who was in Washington, D.C., and again, you got the mayor of Washington, D.C., wants to allow people who have unfortunately been labeled felons and reduced to second-class citizen, where the police can just search them without getting a warrant, without proving anything, you know, without going to a magistrate and presenting some probable cause that I should get a warrant to search this person's house or wherever they're living and whatnot. So Yeah, and he compares it to communities not being communities, but being colonized, colonies, so to speak. All right, we will be back on the other side. We will listen to that as we get ready to wrap up today's program.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for Black people by Black people, if you are an independent Black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and/or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Pan-African Community Action is an organization that's fighting for power in the African and Black community. And we mean an actual shift in power. So our on-the-ground campaign is to fight for community control over the police. Not a civilian review board, but a board that actually has control over the police, set priorities, set policies, and hire and fire police officers. So we are a Pan-African organization, and we believe that the liberation and unification of Africa is directly related to the liberation and unification of Black people here in the United States. In addition, our analysis is that the Black communities in the United States are, in effect, occupied territories, that we are colonial territories, and that our real mission right now is to end the colonial territories and to have control over our own communities.
And again, that was one of the activists that participated in some demonstrations in Washington, D.C. I think the demonstrations were based on this young Black man who was killed in police custody. He was an assistant teacher, I think, and he was found unresponsive in handcuffs and dead after he was arrested by some quote-unquote special police, which are really nothing but security guards. But they have to be approved by the police, something like that. Well, he was found dead in their custody. So there's been some demonstrations in Washington, D.C. I think that case has just been ruled a homicide. If I can, I think I may have bookmarked it, and I'll give you the man's name. I may have shared this also. I'm not seeing it right away. So, but if you check Black Talk Radio Network's page on Facebook, I'm sure I have shared it there. Also, the Real News on YouTube, they have more information about it as well in terms of the latest victim's name. Again, this wasn't some gangbanger or, you know, how they like to demonize victims or whatnot. This was an assistant school teacher, all right? Assistant teacher at a school teaching children and whatnot. And so that's a case that has generated a lot of community outrage, enough outrage that you have people turning out in solidarity to express that outrage. And so that Pan-Africanist, I didn't see his name, that you just heard from, saying that in fact, communities within America that are classified as Black, whether the system classifying them as Black or whether they self-identify as Black, but they are in fact not communities but colonies because they're being colonized, and they the police are acting like the occupiers, you know, like whenever the let's say the Spanish sent out people to colonize the South America and Mexico, that area of Mexico, and how brutal they were and breaking the will of resistance of the people. And you know, what's the colony? What's the colony sole purpose of these countries, European countries, having colonies? To derive wealth from them, steal the wealth, to steal the resources. All right, and that's what's being done to the black community, whether we're talking about even sports. You know, when you talk about how much money professional athletes make and whatnot, and then there are also, you know, a lot of academic success coming out of black communities, and they spot them when they're real young, and already, you know, you got these white dominated universities, corporations coming after them, offering them this, offering them that, and pulling them out of the black community where, you know, they might would, you know, be a part of that resurgence and rebuilding of the infrastructure. Instead, these people get pulled out. You know, you're pulling out the best and brightest minds. Then they're going working for, you know, these multinational corporations and, you know, getting involved in making profit for corporations and not making progress for the people. And whatever their area of expertise. And so in these black communities, well, labor is a commodity in this country. Again, this country was founded on slavery and genocide and land theft. Anybody that wants to say this country was founded on any other principle than a bunch of wealthy white men, okay, conspiring against everyone else, even the black colonists at the time, and black revolutionaries, non-white revolutionaries, conspiring against everybody to create this government where only their rights will be recognized and allow them to continue to practice slavery and human trafficking and continue to keep stealing people's land and taking it by force. And just, I mean, really, all of continental USA, including the islands, Hawaii, U.S. Virgin Island, Puerto Rico, all of these are colonies. This whole place is a freaking colony, man. It has been colonized. All right. But then I guess we would call this, you know, the micro colonization within the colony, and where labor resources are being stolen from the black community under the guise of fighting crime. And then a lot of times you create crime. You're the ones creating the crime that you then charge people with. I mean, again, coming out of after the Civil War, the black codes were written to target newly freed enslaved African. And it even gave them even more power to harass the free black people, you know. And so that leads, all that leads to is them being able to put you back into slavery. Slavery, again, was never abolished. And so, you know, a lot of these things we call in crime, like smoking weed. If I was to smoke some weed right now and let y'all see me smoking some weed, they would consider that a crime. Probably the local sheriff or some, you know, task force on the internet just being nosy, looking at people's public profiles and seeing these pictures. Because these, we see it happen, you know. Oh, I'm coming to get him for smoking weed in his own house, ain't bothering nobody else. And then we're going to slap the handcuffs on him, arrest him, and charge him. And see, that's not a crime. Just cause these people pass legislation and then target people, specific people with that legislation, to take away their freedom and liberty. Well, then we really don't live in a free country at all, do we? We really don't have any liberty. Because if I can't engage in a people activity in the pursuit of happiness that where I'm not harming anyone else, then I must live in a totalitarian government, right? Under a totalitarian government. So just cause they say we the free, you know, USA, home of the free and home of the brave, land of the free and home of the brave, that, hey, that's just a slogan that they like to repeat, that they like to ingrain in your mind and get you to believe it too. And then you have cognitive dissonance when, you know, you can't process all the news headlines of, you know, we talk about on this program, or you're living in denial, like Brother Ralph called in and was talking about. You're not even acknowledging that people are being terrorized by the police, being put into slavery, schools are being closed down. The prison of the school to prison pipeline is still going strong. And so, yeah, just a matter of waking people up. The more people are informed, I guess, the better society we could have if more people were really informed. But the fact is, most of the masses is being brainwashed by media, whether it's right-wing media, left-wing media. I just call it all corporate media, you know, and it really is just about putting people into camps, so to speak. I mean, it's all very juvenile when you think about it. The way that people who classify themselves as Americans view the rest of the world, and, you know, us against the Iranians, or us against the Afghan, or the Taliban, or whoever, you know, the corporate media, the so-called leaders, we'll call them the corporate officers of USA Inc., gets in with their partners in corporate media, whoever they tell us the enemy is, the masses of the people will believe it. Malcolm X talked about it. World War II, you know, first, oh, Russians and the Chinese are our allies, and we're going to defeat the evil Emperor Tojo and the Fuhrer, you know, Hitler. And then right after the war, media flips the script, news media. And now all of a sudden, those are our enemies, and you know, we got to fight them, and we got to, you know, keep these factories going to keep the military industrial complex going, because we got these threats from these communists and you know, Stalin's a evil man. And so, you know, and then all of a sudden, Germany and Japan, you know, Japan especially, who you just got through nuking. Only time nukes have ever been used, killed all them civilians. Now all of a sudden, those are our friends and whatnot. That was all done through media programming. Malcolm X, man, when I peeped that video of him talking about that, I was like, man, he is dead on point about how the media does control the minds of the masses. And that's why I started Black Talk Media Project. You know, I tell people what I do. I'm a propagandist. I produce propaganda. What is propaganda? All propaganda is media to persuade you to one point of view or another. Okay, that's all it is, to inform you with the truth, or it could be to inform you with lies. You know, and so it's really up to the consumer, the person that's being targeted with that, to then, you know, decide whether or not someone's telling the truth, someone's lying. And the best way to do that is to do your own research. But many of us, we just rely on people in the media and just accept that they're telling us the truth, and they're giving us, you know, the backstory and you know, the opposition, or I guess the opposing view. And that's not happening. That's not happening on many of these networks. We're being fed a script. We're being fed programming how they want us to think. All right, so that's why it's important to support independent free media. Gotta say, throw that in there, free media. Black Talk Media Project, certainly free of any strings and encumbered partnerships with corporations and governments. And but we are a North Carolina State nonprofit, and we do our thing from here, and we're looking to grow our media operations. So please consider making a donation today. And I will make one more check of the email to see if we've heard from the host of Tando Radio Show before I log off. And I can let you listeners know if Brother Dave's going to be on air, if somebody's going to be sitting in for him. No, I'm not hearing from anyone, so we will assume, and I thought I heard Brother Dave say he was not going to be on air Monday. All right, so that's cool, that's cool. I'm sure he'll probably be back tomorrow. Just stay locked in to Black Talk Radio Network, whether it's the digital radio station, which you can find on TuneIn, Streamer, all the different platforms, or we're talking about the website, Black Talk Radio Network, where there's a community of independent black media producers and different types of media. So support it. You got to support it, because if you don't, it's going to go by the wayside. And the only way we're going to achieve mass awakening is if we be the media that we want to see. We got to be that media. It's not enough to complain about Fox News or MSNBC and then nobody be working on a solution. Well, the solution is to create alternative media sources, because like H.Rap Brown says, everything in our community that we don't control is a weapon against us. And certainly that TV and the programming coming across that TV or that radio box or your smartphone is being used as a weapon against certain people in this country, primarily black. So we'll close it out. I'll be back on air tomorrow. Recognize the fact that we do, in fact, live behind enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day, but you don't have to lose hope if you develop battlefield skills, battlefield awareness, also known as situational awareness. Pay attention to what's going on in your community, and then hopefully you can decrease the likelihood that you will become one of these victims, whether it's a casualty on the street or whether they get you as a new slave for the new slave plantation called prison. So until then, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace and blessings to all.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, White Power Press, White People's Paper, and White People's Power, are enemies against black people. Now, what the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.